My name's Mandy, and I'm the local RNLI Water Safety Officer, as well as being crew at Wells Lifeboat Station on both of the boats that we have there. This series of podcasts is designed to try to share local water safety knowledge, so to help you enjoy this local coastline whilst keeping yourselves up. So we're here with Diana and Pete this morning to chat about NCI. So Pete, NCI, what does it stand for?
It's a National Coast Watch Institution, and it is a charity run by volunteers, entirely by volunteers.
Okay, and Diana, what are you doing when you're doing Coast Watch? What do you call the people that are...
What we're doing, the actual words are spot, plot, report and respond. And so what we're doing, we're looking out of our Coast Watch window for anything that might be a problem at some point. People, vessels, people on the water, in the water, and also distant moving traffic, vessels going past. Anything that could cause somebody else a problem, or them.
So who are you reporting these movements to, Pete? If Diana's up in diligently plotting, spotting and plotting, where does that information go?
Well, I'd like to add to that. We're listening as well. And I think the listening, because we listen over basically about five radio, VHF radio channels we listen to, so we do a lot of listening, and obviously we basically preempt most of the time. We can see a situation arising and we will report to Humber Coast Guard.
Okay.
Majority of the time, but we do liaise with the other organisations as well, police, fire, ambulance, so, and obviously lifeguards and lifeboat.
Brilliant. So you're trying to look, preempt and raise an early alarm, really, if there's an issue.
Yeah.
Or think there's going to be an issue.
If you look at it that we're at the very beginning of the chain of reaction, you know, we're there either when it absolutely happens in front of us.
Yeah.
So we will start the ball rolling, or somebody will communicate with us and they're in trouble. They need help, so yes,
because you've got a superb spot, haven't you, for the lookout. You know, you've got a really good vista of all of Wells Beach and the harbour mouth and everything.
We've got you know, it's an old Coast Guard station and it's mounted about 55 foot, or I don't know what that is in metric, but above the sea level. So obviously we can see out, obviously, to the wind farms out at 13 miles. So really our vision is about over 8 miles.
Yes.
We're taking a vision.
Oh, okay.
We can actually see, and obviously with our equipment, what we got, you know, to help the watchkeepers to spot and plot, you know, that, yes, that is really our main bit.
So actually, it's quite a big area that you're covering.
Yeah.
It's not just beach area. You're covering right out into the sea, a good old distance.
Well, that's right. I mean, each of the stations, we're about 60 of them around the coast.
There's 60 nationally.
Nationally,
right.
Around there, are all unique.
Okay.
You know, and I think Wells is very unique because we've got, obviously, the harbour.
Yes.
You know, we've got the beach, we've got the woodlands around us. East Hills, which, if nobody doesn't know, is like a finger that jets out from the marshes.
Like a spit almost, isn't
exactly,
it?
Exactly, yeah, which is she's all kind of conservation land. And so, yeah, we are unique and we can have a lot happening in front of us at one time.
Yeah.
Then again, it could be lovely and peaceful and idyllic, really, you know. Others.
So actually we're really lucky in Wells because there's a lot of different organisations that are interested in helping to keep people safe buy in on the water, and NCI or Coast Watch, as they're locally known, is a real long-standing water safety partner for the RNLI, as an example. But and you're also working very closely with the lifeguards during the season,
yeah,
and the Pinewoods beach wardens.
Yeah.
I know myself, just the other day, there was a lady came into the station and our little boy had wandered off and gone missing. And I said to her, let's go straight to the Coast Watch lookout. We went up there, Coast Watch got in touch with the lifeguard on the radio, and the search began, and in literally a couple of minutes, this little boy had been found and was returned to the Coast Watch.
Yeah.
So that sort of linking together and that really great communication locally is massively important, isn't it?
Very important, very important.
I think one thing about the lookout there is the difference in the angle of vision that you've got. Down on the beach, it looks a completely different area, and you go up into the lookout and suddenly it's like you're in an aircraft because you can see everything.
Yeah.
And it's one of the things that visitors that come into the lookout, they always remark on, can't you see a lot?
Yeah, so you allow visitors into the lookout, do you?
Oh, yeah. Everybody's welcome, really.
Yeah.
You know,
that's good, because it's an amazing view. I would encourage anybody who's a first-timer at Wells to pop into NCI Lookout and have a look at the view. It's amazing.
Yeah, that's right, because, you know, it's a public awareness,
yeah,
you know, and who we are and what we're doing.
Yeah.
And I'm saying it's all run by volunteers.
Yeah.
And a lot of people are very appreciative of what we do, you know, and we're appreciative of the watchkeepers that give up their family and their time to actually come in and do it.
Yeah. So, Diana, can you think of a shift that you've done that really sticks in your mind, where something happened, and can you tell us about it?
I suppose, really, yes, where we had a lady on the sand, a long way away. She was on a spit of sand that low tide, there was no problem. She could sit there for as long as she liked, she thought. However, it was due for a tide change, and we watched her, and she was still there. And at this point, she actually lay down on the sand.
Oh, crikey.
And at this point, we did actually phone the Coast Guard and said, we have a lady on the sand, etc., etc. And they said, thank you very much. And they did, in fact, call the lifeboat.
Because she was cut off by the tide?
Because she was going to be cut off by the tide if she didn't move. And the fact that she was lying down after being sitting up seemed very odd, because everything was wrong. The timing was wrong.
Yeah.
And it did actually require her to be brought in by the lifeboat.
Yeah, so tidal cutoff's a really good example of where Coast Watch or NCI come into their own. You know, two out of three people that we rescue from Wells Lifeboat are cut off by the tide.
Yeah.
And that sandbar that gets exposed at low water just to the west of the Wells Channel is a common place for tidal cut off, and it's right in the middle of where you can see, isn't
it? Yeah, it is. Cockle Hole, yeah. I think they've probably looked at, I don't know if it is actually done, but I should think everybody who gets rescued on the tidal cut off comes in from Holcombe End. And obviously, because they get told to walk away from where the birds and normally nest, they end up obviously with the sea, the foreshore to the left.
Yeah, we do get a lot of dog walkers that are cut off by the tide.
As you say, that strip of water then appears on their right. They keep walking, obviously, towards Cockle Hole. And then, of course, that's it. It closes behind them.
They're
on an island.
Before they realise.
Absolutely, yeah.
So, again, we're lucky, another collaboration in Wells, that we have the old siren, sounds like an old World War II siren, that the Pinewoods Beach Wardens kindly set off for us. But that siren is set off from the Coast Watch
lookout. So the siren goes off approximately 4 hours before Wells Bar high tide time to try and alert people to the fact that there is a danger for tidal cutoff. And do you make an announcement or anything when the siren goes off? So what's the announcement that
you come back? You've got to come back immediately. And we do actually say that, come back immediately.
Brilliant.
So, yes, hopefully.
There's only so much that we can do.
But we are
doing a lot to try and educate people.
I mean, a lot of people say, don't they? I mean, 4 hours. Oh, 4 hours, yeah.
It sounds like a long time, half a day.
But you, and then you say to them, like you, as you quite rightly said, you get a northerly like, blowing at you, darling, and then obviously that flood of water is coming in quite fast. All of a sudden, you see that water coming in very, very quickly, don't you?
When I looked at the lifeboat data, and I know there's a lot more people get cut off by the tide than are associated with with lifeboat shouts, but when I looked at it, on average, people are getting cut off 3.5 hours before Wells Bar high tide
time. That doesn't surprise me.
This is why we've got the water safety messaging 4 hours and the siren going 4 hours beforehand to give people a chance to get back safely.
That is a very good figure to give out to that 3.5 hours. It really is, isn't it?
Because we don't want people wading through water that's much more than knee deep, because that can take your feet out from under you. Just giving that additional warning to get people out. So what about the lifeguards, you know, during the lifeguard season? How's that worked this year?
It's worked very, very well, and I think it's getting better
definitely
every year.
I'd agree.
And I think their greatest asset has been the ATV.
They certainly get around on that.
Yeah, they certainly benefited from it, and we got more contact with them before. We didn't, in trouble with mobile phone, obviously mobile phone areas, but now the radio's all up and running properly. We can contact them, build up a relationship with them, and when we speak to one another, we say something to them. They act on it, they do.
Yeah, there's a nice little triangle down there with yourselves, the lifeguards, and the beach wardens, the Pinewoods beach wardens.
Absolutely,
and they all have
them.
Radios. And in the case of a missing youngster, where time is of the essence, that sort of thing comes into play very, very.
If we got a child that's been found, we'll contact the car park people and say to them, tell them, because there might be parents wandering around down there, or is a child wandering around, we're trying to find out where they park their car in case the child decides to go back to where the car is. So they also come into play. And like the incident the other day, they come in and started with the fire on East Hills. They started obviously directing the traffic. They do come into it as well. So, again, there's another organisation, or what you would like to call them, really, that's coming in force.
Certainly the car park attendants have RNLI pages. Yeah. So when we get a page for the lifeboat call out, they get paged, so they know that there's going to be a load of us hurtling down there, and they're very kind to be able to stop the traffic so that we're not driving into oncoming traffic when we're parking and trying to get up to the station as quickly and safely as possible. And that's amazingly useful. So what about you, Pete? What instances stick in your mind about things that you've observed from course?
Where obviously I think the lifeguards, at that time, the lifeguards weren't on duty before the season started or after, it was one or the other. And obviously had a swimmer, and they went outside the swimming buoy markers.
Yeah.
And there was an incoming vessel.
Oh, my word.
And obviously I'm looking and I'm thinking, that vessel hasn't seen that swimmer.
Well, you're not looking for a swimmer, are you, in the main channel?
Yeah, so I made sure, first of all, that I could identify the vessel, and I just got straight onto that VHF radio and just called it and warned them.
That's brilliant.
There was a swimmer in the water, yeah. You know.
But swimmers, I mean, I think you know that swimmers are can be very difficult for helms of boats to see.
Yeah.
You know, it's something the size of a small football sticking out of the water, and if you're not expecting it to be there, you could easily hit a
absolutely.
Swimmer.
Absolutely, yeah. So that was... Yeah, obviously, we hadn't reacted. It could have been something else.
Yeah, that's something that you need to be on the scene and doing very, very quickly.
Yeah, that's right. And then another one, I was by myself. I was by myself on watch because we were short of watchkeepers at the time. And it was busy. It was very, very busy. And that was the same old thing, the cut-off. I had the phone go. I was watching a group of people thinking, well, I'm just going to contact Humber.
Yeah.
The phone went, and these people said to me, we're cut off by the tide.
Right.
I said, I'm looking at you now. I said, so-and-so, I'm looking at you. Don't worry, I'm just about to get hold of Humber. And I said, if you with your foot and your dog, and she said, we haven't got a dog. So then I just said, would you wave your arms about, please? And the group of people watching didn't wave their arms about. So I then started looking west.
Yeah.
Towards the high sands and whatever down there. And there was a group of people waving her arms.
Oh, so there was two separate...
There were two separate incidents, and as soon as I was putting that phone down, it was ringing again with people off the beach that were phoning me on their mobile. I had a group of people come in behind me who wanted to see the lookout.
Oh, everybody at the same time.
Everybody at the same time, but luckily, to my rescue came Gavin Gordy, who turned up behind me and tapped me on the shoulder. And there were so many people in the lookout. It was ridiculous. It was a job to move. It was like being in a telephone box.
But you managed to call the Coast Guard.
We managed to call, yeah. And the ILB went out and dealt with both.
So the insured lifeboat went and picked them up.
Went out and dealt with both groups of people.
Yeah.
But just for to say to somebody, please wave your arms and nothing happened.
Yeah, and then you realise,
down there.
Well, as we all know, Wells Beach and Holcombe Beach are at the remote ends, are interlocking sandbars.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's not just one, it's a whole series of them.
Yeah.
So, yeah, really good point that you're getting more than one group cut off by the tide at the same time.
Yeah.
The other emergency services that we're all working alongside, like ambulances as an example, having you up there with your bird's eye view of the beach can be incredibly useful for them to be able to pinpoint where a casualty...
The guy collapsed there, which I phoned, obviously, the other emergency services and whatever, so it's really assisted with that.
Yeah.
You know, we... but at the time, I think there was somebody at the car park gentleman was obviously first aid trained, so they were up there.
Yeah, and they've got a defibrillator down there as well.
Yeah, so that was handy because I was going to go out, but we're not really allowed to leave the lookout.
No,
which is
I suppose you're not looking out if you left it, have you?
Exactly. Yeah, and then obviously Coast Guard turned up, so that was fine. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Another partner.
Yeah, another partner. Yeah.
I was thinking we did have quite a long time ago, two children. Well, I say they were children on the berm, which is the bank of soil on the far side of the channel, just standing there doing nothing in particular. And the tide was coming in.
Dangerous place to be then.
It was it was one of those places you thought, well, they were in wetsuits. And we thought, well, they must have swum there, so I wonder if they can swim back.
Mm.
However, the state of the tide said to me there's no way they're going to get back because it was rushing in now. So I phoned the Coast Guard. The local Coast Guard rescue team came out And they said to me, has the IRB been paged? And I said, no, not yet. And they said, ah. And then a voice came over the radio, are there any fishing vessels in the vicinity? And I said, well, yes, there is. And he said, what's it called? And I said, well, from up here you can't really tell. And I spoke to the guys down on the beach, and he said, no, I can't read it yet, but he said, I think it's whatever it was. And I told the Coast Guard. They said, all right, thank you. And they actually got this fishing vessel.
Oh, to start?
To rescue these two children.
Okay.
And I thought,
yeah,
that's a good bit of impressive sort of combination of people working together.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I know in other podcasts I've covered quite a lot about, you know, obviously the Coast Guard and the RNLI work closely together to try and save lives at sea, but we're not the only ones doing that. You know, there's a lot of members of the public doing what I would call informal rescues, and I've covered that on some of the podcasts. So there's another one.
Yeah.
Fishing vessels picking up children. Brilliant.
Yeah, yeah. I've had, at least a couple of times, a fishing vessel phone the station and saying, do you know? Yes, thank you very much type of thing. You know, they warned us about us coming in. Yeah, so, yeah, they do play a part. And I was just giggling a minute ago because I just remember the time I was in there. And a couple was right out on the point.
Right.
And they thought they were far enough away, there was hardly anybody on the beach. And they decided...
enjoy themselves.
To enjoy themselves.
Oh, all right,
yes.
Okay.
So, obviously, I was on duty with somebody else, so we decided to put the kettle on. You know, so that was it. And then, obviously, eventually, it just shows you, as we're talking about, the time they... and walk back. And as they're walking back, because I thought they're going to go out of the way over the dunes, they did actually come back where we are to the footbridge in front of us. And as they passed the footbridge, the girl looked up. And I'm looking, not trying to make eye contact. And all of a sudden, you can see her looking and seeing these big telescopes. And she's gone. Then started looking at me, and I thought, don't, Peter, you're going to laugh. Look the other way. Yeah.
Mm.
Yeah.
So she suddenly realised that there was a potential that she'd been overlooked.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, well, so it's all fun and games at NCI.
Yeah, we do. We obviously like to keep it professional.
Yes.
But light-hearted.
Yeah.
As well.
Yeah, really important if you're on a 4-hour shift.
Yeah, that's right.
You know, and nothing very much is happening.
No,
you know?
We're not getting paid for it.
No.
We're volunteering, giving up our own times.
Yeah.
So, let's make it as... best
it's,
we can,
it's a
yeah.
good way to pass the time, I have to say.
Yeah, it is a very good way of passing your time.
Especially if you like people watching.
And seal watching.
Yeah, seal watching, yeah.
You get a little bit of variety.
Yeah.
That's lovely. So thanks, Pete and Diana. That was really good. So just to kind of summarise the high spots of the things that you said, you talked about NCI being a charity, National Coast Watch Institution, and there being about 60 different lookouts nationally, and that you are spotting, listening, plotting, reporting and responding. In short, you're preempting situations and raising an early alarm with Humber Coast Guard. At Wells particularly, you can see about 8 miles, so you're looking at spotting and plotting actually quite a big distance. And you're one of the RNLI water safety partners alongside Pinewoods Beach Wardens, the RNLI Lifeguards, Wells Coast Guards, etc. And you like people to pop into NCI, and if it's the first time you've been to Wells, it's a really good place to get a good appreciation of the beach and the massive expanse that is Wells Beach.
You're also helping people, beachgoers, to understand about the siren. The siren sounds approximately 4 hours before Wells Bar high tide time during the summer to alert people as to the start of tidal, the risk of tidal cutoff, and you're making an announcement to let people know before the siren goes off, in addition to the signage at the beach entrance, which is great. So thank you very much, Pete and Diana, and thank you very much for being very good water safety partners. One thing I forgot to mention that I'm shoehorning in right at the end, Pete talked about people contacting NCI or Coastwatch. There's two ways you can contact NCI. One is with a VHF radio and they're on channel 65. The other one is by phone and their telephone number is 01328 710587. Thanks. I hope you found this podcast useful and interesting. And if you have, there's a whole series more podcasts on Wells Lifeboat website. So you can have a look there. There's all sorts on there of local water safety advice. Thanks again. Bye.